John's Gospel and chapter 20. Just before I read, just a question, a rhetorical question. Don't shout at an answer. When you come to church, what makes the service a good service? Here's the answer. It's nothing to do with me. Whether the service is good or not is nothing to do with me. What a revelation to me that what we feel about the service, whether it's good or bad, is in fact nothing to do with me. It's to do with ourselves and our willingness to step forward and say, I take responsibility for my own worship. I'm participating with others and we come together. How easy it is, I know how easy it is to think, well, it's to do with the people up the front. It's to do with the sermon that you're about to hear. No, it's not. It's to do with your response and our willingness to step forward and receive, our willingness to open our own hearts and say, I'm here to give myself to God. And that's a responsibility we all have. And we see it in this passage that we read now. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 19. And just the short passage there, down to verse 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This passage has at the heart of it the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying to his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, it is on the first day of the week. So it's not today in relation to Easter, but it is Easter Sunday. On that particular day, when the disciples are gathered together, they're confused, they're fearful, they don't know what really has happened. They've placed all their hopes and their dreams in this Jesus. But everything's gone wrong for them. He has been crucified. The forces of power at work in the world appear to have won again. And yet there they are in this room, locked doors, fearing for their lives. Jesus comes to them and blesses them. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. At the heart of this passage, at the heart of what Jesus says, it is that offering of the gift. Receive the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Extraordinary words. If we'd held a poll, what would be the words that Jesus would speak to his disciples after his resurrection? What would they be? Maybe peace. Maybe receive the Holy Spirit. Would we have imagined that he would say to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you? Would we have guessed, based on everything he'd said and done in his ministry, that he would say, if you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Would we put these words at the top of the list and say, Jesus, before anything else, don't forget to mention forgiveness of sin? We probably wouldn't. Extraordinary words. At the heart of what he says, receive the Holy Spirit. There is so much here, even in these few words. Jesus begins by saying, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." You might remember that at, who was here on Christmas Day and had one of those? Yeah, a number of you were. Prince of Peace, it says. Shar Shalom in the Hebrew underneath. And this was kind of a jigsaw. It was made of pieces that you had to stick on. It's so firmly stuck, I can hardly get them off. But the whole point of this exercise, peace. Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, he comes to the disciples, "Peace be with you." And he's saying, "Shalom." He is blessing them with peace. Shalom. Shalom is wholeness. It's togetherness. It's about taking the pieces of the jigsaw of our lives and putting it together in the way that it's intended to be put together. And Jesus is blessing his disciples with this togetherness. Now, you might say, well, that's all very well. And I'm sure I've been blessed with God's peace, but I don't feel very together. My life is chaotic. There are so many questions, so many unanswered things in my life. I just can't figure out what I'm doing, where I'm going, who I'm supposed to be, or anything. And we get this word from Jesus, "Peace be with you." But you know, I wonder sometimes, if we were just to stop for a moment, be still, just stop. And it's in that moment of stillness, that moment of stopping. Be still and know that I'm God, the psalmist says. Is it not in that moment of stillness? Yes, we realize all the things we're trying to suppress, the worries, the fears, they're all very real and there. But as we receive the blessing of peace, we realize that somehow, deep within us, at the heart of our being, there is a togetherness. Somehow, against all the odds, all the questions and the confusion in our lives, somehow, deep within, everything makes sense. And if you were to try and explain it to a friend, you'd say, "I can't explain it." But somehow there is this peace, there is this togetherness, this wholeness at the heart of my being. Is my life still a mess? Yes, it is. Have I still got questions? Yes, I have. I haven't got any more answers, but somehow there is this wholeness. And Jesus, when he meets his disciples, full of fear that they are, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And literally, here. Can I borrow you a second, Jackie? Do you mind? Just stand up. Just face that way. Okay, this is what Jesus says. I'm acting it out. "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Okay, sorry, you sit down now. This is good, isn't it? Did you get that? "As the Father is sending me," how would you imagine that Jesus is sending you? What did I just do? How would you describe that? There was a forcingness. If somebody did that to you, what did they do? They pushed you, they shoved you, jolted you. The word Jesus uses here is an extraordinary word, and it does mean to kind of push, to shove. "As the Father is sending me," that's a different word. "As the Father is sending me, I'm pushing you out." Why did he say that? Probably because they're locked in a room for fear of their lives. Where would they rather be? They'd rather be locked in a room, afraid for their lives, yes, but they'd rather stay exactly where they are, not moving. And so Jesus says, "As the Father is sending me, I'm sending you. I am shoving you out there. Out you go. Come on. up you get. Out of your place of comfort and security, out of everything you have known or you thought you knew, peace be with you. As the Father is sending me, so I'm sending you. Off you go. Out into the world. Do what I did. Now, come on. Do you ever feel like you need a shove? Just to get you moving. Maybe we feel that we do need a shove. But when somebody shoves us, how do we feel? We feel offended. Shouldn't say that. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't put me under pressure to go and share my faith or live out my faith. How did the disciples feel about Jesus? Thanks for the peace, but we'd rather not be shoved out. That's what he was doing. There's so much here in these simple words. And then, of course, he goes on. And with that, he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that in just a second. And if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. There's something about relationship and restoring relationship. We need to mark these words as the Jesus meets his disciples after his resurrection, top of the list of the things he wants to say to his disciples. Peace, wholeness. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Receive the Spirit. And then something about restoring relationships. About forgiveness. And this extraordinary Jesus giving to his disciples the opportunity. It's really, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. Extraordinary opportunity is given to the disciples. Go out there, make a difference. Make a difference in relationship. If you forgive their sins, they're forgiven. If you don't, they're not. Almost it's up to you. You go and make the difference. Something about restoring relationships. Not holding people's wrongs against them. But it's up to you. It's up to you. It's over to you now. Off you go. Go and do it. This passage is a rich passage, but at the heart of it there is this blessing of the Holy Spirit. So what have I just said? Firstly, there is this blessing. It's a blessing about completeness. That's what Jesus wants to give always, this sense of wholeness and completeness in amongst all the questions and confusion. At the heart there is this completeness. And then there is this commissioning, and this is this shoving out. Jesus is sending us, we're under his orders. If somebody says to us, why are you doing what you're doing? Well, it's because Jesus has sent us out. We're under his orders. And then, of course, there is this gift of life that I'll come to in just a second, the Holy Spirit. And then there is this opportunity to restore relationships. There is this opportunity. It's over to you. Jesus isn't going to force us. It's over to you. You forgive, they're forgiven. If you don't, they're not. Extraordinary that he would say that. But at the heart of this passage is this blessing, this gift of the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. Do you like people breathing on you? Do you? Do you like people breathing on you? See, normally we would think, well, I like the idea of coming out from somewhere really stuffy, you know, and there's a fresh breeze, you know. I remember years ago, it must have been 1996, perhaps, 5, 6, 7, something like that. We'd had a really, really hot summer. Maybe a drought. It hadn't rained. And I remember I was actually down in Seward Close. I distinctly remember it was a Wednesday morning. I was leading the Seward Close Wednesday service. I was standing there and just all the doors were open because it was so hot. Oh. Suddenly there was this and a breeze just blew that we hadn't felt for months. And then the noise of the rain. Freshness. Jesus breathed on them. I guess that meant he got pretty close to them. He breathed on them. They could feel his breath upon them. Probably not a cool breath, but a warm breath. He breathed on them. He got close to them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Perhaps the most significant thing here is that in Genesis, we read these words. Genesis 2:7, "Then the Lord God breathed into the nostrils of the man he'd created the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And exactly the same action is going on. Just as the Creator God breathed into this lifeless form and it became a living being, Adam was born. So now Jesus breathes up close and personal on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Earlier I said, what makes a good service? The reality is, what makes a good service has nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with the choice of passage from the Bible. It's nothing to do with the songs that are sung. And it's actually nothing to do with the music that's played. What makes a good service is our willingness to step up and worship and receive. And Jesus says, "Receive. Receive." And within that receiving, there is action on our part. It is not, you know, "Here you go, Jackie, again. Receive." It's receive. Did you get that? There is action required. Even though Jesus breathed on them, receive. Would you receive? Or would you turn away from breath? Breathed on it. Oh. Too close. Too personal. What makes the difference is our willingness to step forward and say yes. You know, sometimes in my Christian experience, in my spiritual journey, I've been in contexts where it's been common, I suppose, normal, that in worship, when we sing a song, so "Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down," people would put their hands in their air, they'd close their eyes and lift their heads. What were they doing? They were seeking to receive. They were just saying, "I'm open, I'm open." If I go like this, what am I doing? What am I doing? Closing myself. I don't know if you sing like this. I don't think you can. Body language says a lot about us. Says a lot about us. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive. Welcome what I have for you." What makes the difference is us. What makes the difference is our willingness to step up and say, "I will receive. I will receive." I will do whatever I have to do to receive. You know, in my Christian life, having given my life to Jesus for the first time when I was 12 years old, I heard through my teenage years the message, I guess quite often, you know, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And people would pray for me, for others. They would lay hands on people to be blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for some people, it felt as though they'd just exploded with love. It felt like something was happening for them. And what happened for me? Absolutely nothing. I didn't feel anything. It didn't do anything. At least that's how I thought at the time. Do you know, since my early Christian experience, people prayed that I would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I was, Lord, I want to receive. I want to receive. I put my hands up. I want to receive. I'm open. And I recognize now, looking back, I couldn't see it at the time. I recognize now, looking back, my craving for God. My desire to get into the Word and devour it. My longing to read the Bible starting at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and read it all the way through, came because I had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I hadn't felt anything physical, but there was a deep longing, a yearning that had been created within my own heart, because I'd said, I want this. I want this. And I step forward in a manner. Say, this is for me. And I simply say here, the gift of the Holy Spirit initiates a new beginning. It may be that today is the day for your new beginning. It may be that today, wherever you've been, whoever you've been, whatever you've done, it may be that today is the day, whether you do it physically or not, you say, I receive the Holy Spirit. I cannot give you the Holy Spirit. I cannot make it happen for you. But Jesus says, I'll breathe on you. Receive the Holy Spirit. God is a generous Father. He gives the Holy Spirit to all who ask. That's what it says at the end of that passage in Luke 11. Today, do you need to be asking Father God for the gift of the Holy Spirit? God would bless you. Let's remind ourselves with this completeness. Peace be with you. He would commission you. He would, under orders, out you go. Not very comfortable, perhaps, but that's what Jesus does. And this extraordinary opportunity to forgive, to restore relationships, but at the heart is the gift of the Spirit. Today is our opportunity for a new beginning, our opportunity to receive from God.